Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Yeah, people wonder a lot about the new evangelization.
You're re-evangelizing the de-Christianized.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
The vast number of Catholics have been sacramentalized but not evangelized.
I'm talking about God, the devil, hell, heaven.
To be Catholic is to evangelize.
He's absolutely right.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, it's always a joy to be with you.
What is your quest?
Build the church, bless the nation.
We are go for launch.
10, 9.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Let's do this.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
What a good afternoon to be with you again. So much outstanding material to dig into, and we're going to do it today. We've got lots going on. Let me tell you, right, we now have a recent column in the New York Times that asserts that legalizing euthanasia is just the beginning. That's where they're beginning to end unnecessary suffering. Of course, when they talk about euthanasia as the means to ending unnecessary suffering, what they really mean is the means to end sufferers, put them out of their misery. We're going to talk about that with Wes Smith. There's this whole province of palliative care, which is a legitimate area of work for doctors, but it is subject to tremendous abuse. So Wes Smith will be joining us to talk about the distinction between euthanasia, palliative care. And then also today, we're going to be talking to Jason Negri, because a proposed addition to the Affordable Care Act would provide Medicare reimbursements for healthcare practitioners to hold discussions with patients about end-of-life decisions. Patients would be encouraged to meet with their doctors about the end-of-life choices. They'll sign forms indicating how they'd like to be treated. A lot of people are afraid that this opens the door to death panels. Will it? We'll talk it over with Jason Negri coming up. We'll also pick up on Justice Kennedy, who finally spoke yesterday at the Ninth Circuit Judicial Conference, and he compared the outrage of some of the American people, like you and me, our outrage over the same-sex marriage decision, with the 1989 flag-burning case, in which many people were upset because the flag-burning was seen as an exercise of free speech. The justice doesn't get it. These are not parallel situations at all. Issues regarding marriage and family go to the foundation of a society. The question of the aura around the flag is something which comes much, much later. In a society, as it begins to craft its identity. We're going to talk about why this is different and why the Justice Kennedy, is more interested in being a philosopher king than he is in being a jurist. I think that after this last decision, I don't think that's in question anymore. Also coming up today, we're going to spend time looking at how to defend marriage. Last week, we talked about the plight of bakers, florists, photographers, and how they ought to respond to the request to participate, to contribute their talents to same-sex marriage. Given the laws that we face, laws of general applicability as well as public accommodation laws, Robert Muse will be joining us from the American Freedom Law Center to answer those questions about what can be done and what can't be done given the present state of American law. Let's see. We got also coming up Bill May. Bill has been trying to come up with a different way of responding to this change in the definition of marriage. He says the time for defending marriage is over. He said, it's now time to define reality. We'll see exactly what he means by that. But right now, we're going to hit the headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much, Al. Welcome, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, July 16th. It is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and today's news is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at charitymobile.com. Chattanooga Mayor Andy Burke says five people were killed in today's shootings at two military centers, including the gunman.
Today is a nightmare for the city of Chattanooga. We had someone viciously attack at two different locations people who proudly serve our country.
These shootings took place this morning. Burke said the violence is incomprehensible. U.S. Attorney Bill Killian says these shootings are being investigated as an act of domestic terrorism. The jury has reached a verdict in the trial of Colorado theater shooter James Holmes. The verdict will be read at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. He could face the death penalty if he is convicted of killing a dozen people and wounding 70 others when he opened fire inside a theater in July of 2012. The defense claims Holmes is not guilty by reason of insanity. A small Christian college in Massachusetts has elected not to offer health insurance to students in order to avoid complying with the federal contraceptive mandate. Wheaton College has informed students that the school, quote, has been forced to quickly make difficult choices, end quote, after losing a court challenge to the mandate. Wheaton is appealing that decision. The college said it would not offer health insurance because, under the terms of the mandate, it would be required to include coverage of abortifacient drugs and sterilization. And free internet is coming to low-income New Yorkers. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city is pumping in $10 million for the installation of free wireless to five public housing developments in the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn starting next year. The U.S. Secretary of Urban Development, Julian Castro, joined the mayor in the Bronx for the announcement. He says you need access to the internet to get homework done and to apply for a job. De Blasio hopes to have free internet to all New Yorkers by 2025. And now your fascinating fact for the day. William Howard Taft was only the second president to own a car. Unfortunately, he was too fat to drive it. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. You remember about 2 weeks ago now, after the SCOTUS decision, which was June 26th, within a few days of it, we were talking about homosexual so-called marriage, and we had a vigorous discussion about the plight of bakers, florists, and photographers, and what they are bound to do in serving same-sex couples. And, you know, I made some distinctions here between what is objectively cooperation with evil and what is a violation of one's own sense of propriety. I also said that we should be careful here because we don't want to be cheering people to go running off the cliff given the state of American law, the current state of law. We got laws of general applicability, laws of public accommodation. And I said, this is, don't go running off half-cocked. I was talking the other day with my friend Rob Muse of the American Freedom Law Center, and I saw he had published a piece. In fact, we made it available at the website yesterday at avemariaradio.net. It was one of our featured articles that lets people know how one way that they can approach this problem, because nobody denies that there is a problem here. But I want to make sure we're actually, you know, sometimes we react and we find out later that there's not much we can do. So what I want to do is find out what's plausible. And Rob, it's good to have you with me. I should let people know you've been doing this since 2000 anyway.
Yes, yes.
Your focus has been religious liberty.
It has, yes.
And you've been involved in a number of important cases. You're the co-author of a journal article called Wearing the Crown of Solomon, Chief Justice Roberts and the Affordable Care Act Tax. Rob is also a former officer in the U.S. Marine Corps, and you can get a hold of him at AmericanFreedomLawCenter.org. there's no doubt that at varying degrees of involvement, bakers, florists, photographers might have an objection to getting involved with a same-sex wedding. Like with photographers in particular, it strikes me that for them to do the kind of job a same-sex couple might want, they've got to be entering into the spirit of the whole thing. I mean, this is what photographers tell me anyways. They're serious about it. So they're wondering, can I do that? Can I resist? What's possible given American law? Because I said, don't be too quick to say no here, because you may find yourself with some stiff fines. And we have the laws of public accommodation. You've got to think about racism and realize that the federal government and state governments now are going to be eradicating opposition to same-sex couples and same-sex persons with the same fury that they went after the eradication of racism. Do you agree with that?
There's no doubt about how really strenuously they're fighting these things, yeah. And it goes really to one of the main points. I just want to just do a little bit of sort of legal landscape,
yeah,
here,
please.
So your listeners understand where we're sitting. Right now, after the Smith decision, which was decided in 1990, Justice Scalia was the author of it, of all people, where he essentially eviscerated the Free Exercise Clause, the First Amendment. And any law that's a neutral law of general applicability, you can't challenge it on free exercise grounds, meaning that there is no the government doesn't have to come up with a compelling reason. They just have to have a rational basis. And these public accommodation laws, as you referred to, these anti-discrimination laws, they are typically viewed as neutral laws of general applicability. Right. So even if they violate your religious beliefs, you can't run to the court and challenge them on First Amendment grounds. That's why all these, you know, bakers and people who have florists and places where they have weddings, they've been losing these, and they've been fined very heavily for those.
It's terrible.
It's terribly. And even, you know, apply to the HHS mandate challenges, which we're involved. We represent Priests for Life. Hobby Lobby didn't win on free exercise grounds. They won on statutory grounds, because after the Smith decision, the Congress was so upset by that they passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which essentially put back in place the standard for free exercise challenges before the Smith decision came out. And that standard is this: if any law substantially burdens your right to free exercise, the government must have a compelling reason, and the law must be narrowly tailored to promote that compelling reason, meaning strict scrutiny. They have to it has to survive strict scrutiny, which in the vast majority of cases it does not.
Okay.
So in these public accommodation laws, if we didn't have the Smith decision, you could challenge them under the
free
exercise clause, First Amendment,
yeah,
and you'd win.
Yeah. Right.
And the problem was they when Congress passed that law, they tried to apply it also to the states, and that was challenged in the City of Bourne case, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that, because essentially what Congress was doing was reversing a constitutional decision by the Supreme Court by statute, essentially amending the Constitution by statute, which you can't do. Now, if Congress wants to bind their own people, their own workers, the federal employees, they certainly can do that, and that's how they did that through RFRA. So RFRA only applies if the person who's doing the violation, imposing the substantial burden, is a federal actor, works for the federal government. That's why we can challenge the HHS mandate under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the federal version. Every time a state now has been trying to pass a state version of a Religious Freedom Restoration Act or expand it so it covers businesses, not individuals, they're getting crucified, literally.
Right.
I mean,
Indiana.
Indiana. But even further, prior to that, Jan Brewer, Arizona, tried to do that.
Jan Brewer,
a very conservative Republican governor, she caved into all the pressure, and she vetoed that bill. That wasn't a bigoted bill. That was a bill that just expand the protection, the free exercise protection, statutorily to cover issues dealing with any state actors that might impose those burdens upon you. So, in like for example, I'm working with a Ohio representative right now, and they're trying to, because he realizes because of the political fallout that they're likely not going to be able to expand the statutory protection to the bakers and the florists right yet. He's going to be working on that. They're working on a legislation that's the Ohio Pastor Protection Act that's going to protect pastors and religious societies from these public accommodation laws. Because I tell you, the next shoe that's going to fall, in my view, you know, I go to St. Thomas down here in Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. beautiful church, yep. historic building, you know, yep. it's declared a historic site by the state of Michigan. Obviously, a beautiful venue for weddings. Two of my daughters were married there. Mm-hmm. And I could see somebody coming. Now, they're not going to force, you know, Father Bill or one of the priests to do the sham wedding.
They can't force them to do it.
Well, I'll say they won't go that far, right, because there's a slow boil here.
Right.
The next step will be, you know what, this provides a great venue for photographs for my wedding. Right. So I would like to use your building, which is open to the public. And they're going to run across the Ann Arbor's public accommodation law. The state of Michigan does not have, as a matter of state law, sexual orientation as one of the categories.
Okay.
But, and I was just checked it this morning, there's 39 Michigan cities that have local city ordinances that have severe fines, injunctive relief, and so forth that that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation. And there's prohibitions in housing, employment, but also in public accommodations. Okay. If you provide any public services, you open up your business to the public, you are subject to these laws, which are neutral laws of general applicability, and it's going to be problematic.
Church limits its facilities to members of the church,
right.
would they be able to avoid...
Certainly there's ways that you could address that, but imagine you have... Because, you know, you mentioned before about the photographers, you know, they have to really be engaged in this to do a good job.
That's right.
So why would these, you know, this lesbian couple want... Why? Because it's a setup. It's a setup.
Yeah.
So why don't you think they're going to have, you know, get two women who are going to join the parish St. Thomas, you know, just independently. They're going to get baptized, confirmed. There's nothing that, you know, that prevents them from getting all the sacraments.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So they're going to be in good standing in the church.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden one day they say, you know what, we want to get married, Father Bill.
Yeah.
Well, you can't because you're, what do you mean? We've been baptized. We've been confirmed. We've done everything that we asked to do. Well, you're of the same sex, and that, you know, that's against our church teaching. Well, wait a second. This is a neutral law of general applicability. We want to have access to your facilities, and the only reason why you're doing that is because of our sexual orientation.
So this is really frightening stuff. The church would then have to act to excommunicate them, which they almost never do with laity, anyways.
Every one of the dissents in that Supreme Court decision made the point that, look, we are going to have some serious religious liberty issues. Because, the majority mentioned about, you know, advocating and teaching your religion, but what about the exercise of your religion? And Chief Justice Roberts made that point that it was ominously missing from the majority's view that they didn't mention that the exercise.
They don't mention
exercise, religion.
Free exercise
right.
of religion, yeah. Sam, we're running out of time, but I want to make sure. Can you stay with me a little longer?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I want to make sure we get some of these things down. We'll take a break now. Come back and continue the conversation with Rob Muse. He's co-founder and senior counsel at the American Freedom Law Center. Since 2000, he's been dedicated to defending religious liberty with his practice, and is the co-author of the journal article "Wearing the Crown of Solomon: Chief Justice Roberts and the Affordable Care Act." I'm Al Cresta.
If you are in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle and want to be treated with dignity and respect, then come on in and enjoy your experience. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our summer clearance event, our Chrysler 200s and Jeep Cherokees are marked down to $149 per month. The Ram 1500 Crew Cab is only $189 per month. Now is the best time to get a great deal with over 500 vehicles to choose from, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Nothing illustrates the powerful bond between man and wife intended by God, the creator of marriage, than these words from Matthew's gospel. A true marriage is a sacramental bond and is therefore indissoluble. The Catholic Catechism, however, realistically acknowledges that the presence of evil can severely strain this bond. Marital union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, jealousy, infidelity, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation. The original communion of Adam and Eve was ruptured by their sin of disobedience. Their relations were distorted by mutual recrimination, says the Catechism, and brought about the pain of childbirth and the toil of work. Without God's help, a man and woman cannot achieve the union of their lives for which God created them in the beginning. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Lavinia Spirito for Catholic with Bible Study. C.S. Lewis famously wrote that we are secret agents behind enemy lines. It's true. This world is under hostile rule, and its prince is in full-scale rebellion against our Father in Heaven, with a mission to take as many souls with him as possible. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to raid and poach in Satan's territory and rescue souls out from under him. We should not be surprised or dismayed at opposition. Of course Satan will work to stop us, but we have a clear promise that we are equipped and commissioned to do the job. We are called to attack the kingdom of the world and rescue souls in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and bring them to our Father's heavenly kingdom. Are you ready?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at avemariaradio.net.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. With me is Attorney Robert Muse, talking from the American Freedom Law Center, talking about this problem that bakers and florists and photographers and people who rent out halls have when it comes to same-sex so-called marriage. Many people don't want to cooperate in any way. And so, you know, this is perfectly understandable, and I can understand that. And yet, it's not clear. There's such a thing as a violation of conscience. That's one thing. There's also objective cooperation with evil. That's another thing. And then you've got this weird situation in the United States where, under the First Amendment, these bakers and florists, photographers, aren't going to win. I mean, it's fair to say that.
Yeah, I think it's a long shot that they're going to win, unless we can get Smith reversed.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm hoping is that there may be some momentum to eventually get a case up to get the Supreme Court to reverse Smith. But I mean, it's still going to be a tough challenge because you can't even get these laws passed in the legislatures by Republican legislations and Republican governors.
Yeah.
So it is going to be a challenge. But you know, you mentioned
another way of going, maybe.
Well, we still have the right to free speech. Speech is still the most robust and protected right we have under the Constitution for very, very good reasons. And when that's gone, I don't know what's going to happen after that. Mm-hmm. But right now, you have the right to free speech. And what I've suggested in a blog is, look, if you have a wedding barn or you have a facility and you're a Christian and you know your options are going to be convert or lose everything, right? Because you're going to lose on these public accommodation challenges.
Right.
You just are. I mean, that's just given the nature of the law. But you still have a right to free speech. So if you want to display in your facility, you know, a giant banner, center stage, that says marriage is between one man and one woman, and, you know, from God, or cite scripture, and have it all over the facility, you can do that.
Yeah.
These public accommodation laws don't touch that. In fact, you make that a condition of them renting your facilities, that your facility is going to have all these, you know, these religious messages about marriage hanging up during the course of this, you know, whatever ceremony
they're
going to have.
This is what your hall has.
Yeah, that's what my hall has. Yeah. That's part of renting the hall.
I like
and
it.
If the government says take that down, guess what? You can challenge it under the First Amendment free speech and you're going to win that case.
Yeah.
You have all your servants wear bright orange T-shirts that say marriage is between one man and one woman. Right, you have the florist. This our slogan for our company is marriage is between one man and one woman. Every floral arrangement, every cake that we bake is going to have that as part of it. Yeah. That's our trademark.
Yeah.
And you can't tell us to remove that. You do. I'm going to have a right to challenge the application of any law that requires me to remove that under the First Amendment free speech, and I'm going to win that. Let's stand up. Let's profess our beliefs and do that very publicly and in a way that makes it very clear that we are Christians and we are protesting this, and we're protesting it using our right to freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And we can win those cases.
Yeah. You know, I love this because it also kind of forces florists and bakers and landlords to integrate their faith more directly into their business. I managed a floral shop 1 year, and I worked for another back in the early 1970s. Both of them were owned by Christians. Okay. And they were both families were pretty open about their faith. And it'd be interesting to see today if they would feel driven to make sure that faith was more explicit, because that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
The most basic things are having to be defined.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people go into these small businesses because they actually do feel called by God. They have a talent. They want to serve people with it. And it is, their business is actually tied to a sense of call that they have. I think it's time for them to integrate that into their the architecture of the building, into the design, the art on the walls, and have messages like this.
No, absolutely. You know, we have to be a light, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody once used the turn of the phrase that, you know, we can't go into the closet that the gay rights movement came out of.
Right.
You know, we've got to be out there in the public and professing our beliefs and do it in our businesses. And you have a free speech right to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and if they want to hire, they want to rent my hall, that's wonderful, but my hall is going to make it very clear my view is of what this event is that you're holding in my particular
hall.
One
of the reasons I decided to make my hall available is because I wanted to have an environment which was a godly environment in which people could marry.
And maybe touch some hearts and convert people.
Yeah.
Because that's what we, really, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do.
And
we
that's as much free speech as it is exercise of religion.
Yeah, well, and that's the, you know, the part of the exercise of religion that's tied to speech is where we have protection.
Right.
You know, that's why in all these cases I do where I'm representing, you know, pastors or, you know, at the Irwin Arab Festival, these Christian missionaries, those cases are all brought under the right to freedom of speech. Because when you're evangelizing, when you're handing out gospel tracts, when you're you know, speaking in the pulpit, where those are all certainly there are ways that you exercise your religion, but they're protected by the free speech clause, and that is still has robust protection for Americans.
Rob, thanks so much. I was delighted to see this when it came out. So,
and if anybody wants to implement this strategy, let us know. I'll help
American
you out legally.
Freedom
yes,
Law Center.
We'll be right there. We'll help you along the way. I'd love to get one of these challenges on First Amendment free speech grounds and challenge these laws that are being applied.
We'd love to see it, too.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me.
Again, Rob Muse is with the American Freedom Law Center ever since I've met Rob, he's been involved in defending religious liberty. And so, again, this is a much better way than what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. It means your hands aren't tied by these public accommodation laws. This is a free speech issue, and that, again, has a different basis for defense. Also coming up today, we're going to be taking a look at adopting a new strategy to defend marriage. That's coming up later today. But right now, we want to turn our attention to a proposed addition to the Affordable Care Act which provide Medicare reimbursements for healthcare practitioners to hold discussions with patients about end-of-life decisions. This is where patients would be encouraged to meet with their doctors about their end-of-life choices, and they'd sign forms indicating how they'd like to be treated. Now, a lot of people saying, is this going to open the door to death panels? And, that's important. That's a question you want to ask. A man who's been working on this for a while and can give us some orientation to it is Jason Negri. Jason is a lawyer serving Southeast Michigan, a member of the Ave Maria School of Law's inaugural class of 2003, which I remember very well. He's also just published a book with Catholic Answers. I'm reaching for it right now here. Oh, yeah, there it is. 20 Answers on End-of-Life Issues. So that is available through Catholic Answers. And, Jason, it's good to have you with me.
Thanks, Al. Good to be here.
Let's talk about this provision. Do you think that this emphasis is going to lead to death panels?
Like many other things in life, the answer is maybe. The reimbursement program we're talking about was initially part of the Affordable Care Act way back when it was first being discussed on the national stage. But this provision was removed before the bill finally passed, precisely because there was all this talk about death panels. Mm-hmm. I think it was Sarah Palin coined the term. And the idea behind that, of course, is raising the specter of a group of star chamber of some sort that would be making decisions as to who lives or who dies.
Right. That was the fear.
Right. And that's a little bit pejorative. I mean, maybe there was some basis for that, because certainly there was evidence that many of the architects of the Affordable Care Act were very much publicly stating that they hoped to emulate the style of what was going on in Great Britain in terms of their managed care system and the famous Liverpool Care Pathway, which has been charged with prematurely steering patients into hospice mm-hmm. care and rationing care. Mm-hmm. So there was some basis for it. But part of it was, I think, just hype, because the conversation that this reimbursement program is designed to incentivize is actually a really good one. People on all sides of the end-of-life issues really promote the idea of having this all-important conversation with your loved ones, of course, with your family members, but also with your doctor, so that your doctor knows where you're at when it comes to end-of-life care.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea, but remember that this is being funded through the Medicare program, which is intended to cover those who are age 65 and older, and some people with disabilities.
So this is just to reward healthcare practitioners who encourage their patients to discuss end-of-life issues and to basically come to a decision about durable power of attorney or living will or whatever they decide to do.
In part,
okay.
Yes. I mean, it's the conversation, as you say, it's meant to encourage the doctors to have the conversations that are good. But remember, these people, the patients, from the patient side of things, they are, you know, arguably part of a medically vulnerable population. You know, they might be pressured, depending on the circumstances that are being brought to bear, that perhaps they might say at the time they want to forego treatment that they otherwise might want in a given situation. Now, this could be because the doctor or his hospital are concerned about the high costs of medical care for the elderly, and this comes through in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of managed care that I discussed earlier clearly bears upon this. But also, it's when you're in an abstract situation, depending on how the subject is raised, it's not unusual for people to just blithely say, well, you know, if X, Y, or Z happens to me, then just pull the plug. Mm-hmm. When in reality, when X, Y, or Z actually does happen to them sometime down the line, they think very differently about it.
Right.
But
right.
It's too late, because this has already been recorded.
Yeah.
You know, in the doctor's notes.
It's already in stone, right.
Precisely. And that's the problem that we have with living wills, and that's the problem that we have with this new phenomenon that people probably aren't even familiar with, called a PULST, the Physician's Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. It's a relatively new phenomenon.
Yeah, describe that, would you?
Yeah, it's basically an acronym to describe a portable medical order that transfers from one setting to another with the patient, and it's intended to give healthcare providers immediate information about what interventions should or shouldn't be undertaken. And you have to remember, the O in PULST stands for order, all right? A medical order.
Yeah.
It's part part of their patient's medical record, and that order can be followed by practitioners, by doctors, nurses, without further question or communication with the patient.
But medical situations are often fluid and flexible. Are we better off just assigning a loved one durable power of attorney?
Absolutely, yes. No matter what situation happens, if this reimbursement program, you know, actually does come into play, if you're having this conversation with your doctor, which, by the way, will be voluntary on the part of the patient, but whether you choose to have this conversation with your doctor or not, you absolutely should always sign a durable power of attorney for health care. And then you can contact your lawyer for one. You can contact the patient's rights counsel for ours. There's different ways you can do this, but it should be put in place.
Jason, I'm wondering if we can get together next Monday, maybe at 3 o'clock, and record an hour on end-of-life issues using the work you've done for Catholic Answers.
I think I can accommodate that, yes.
Okay, I'll have Nick call you.
Okay,
we'll
very
take
good.
Care. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Jason Negri is author of End-of-Life Issues, published by Catholic Answers.
Do you wonder how best to love someone questioning their sexual identity or people like me who live with same-sex attraction? Hi, my name is Dan Mattson, and I would like to invite you to attend a conference in Detroit on pastoral approaches to same-sex issues. It will be held on August 10th through 12th and features a stellar lineup of nearly 30 speakers, including Dr. Janet Smith, Father John Ricardo, Teresa Tomeo, and many more. For more information, go to CourageRC.org. That's CourageRC.org.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This show is sponsored in part by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a nonprofit diocesan ministry serving in many dioceses. As an extension of your parish community, we specialize in guiding you through the entire end-of-life process, making decisions easy and faith-driven for you now and for your loved ones later. 800-498-4989. That's 800-498-4989.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Are other people responsible for making your child behave? Short answer, an emphatic no. But I have 78 more seconds of commentary, so let me go on a bit. Parents will oftentimes tell me, you know, little Rutherford was really difficult in Sunday school. But, you know, I don't think that was his fault. I think the Sunday school teacher is kind of a weak disciplinarian. Or, Grandma can't really handle him. You know, if she was firmer, I think he'd be a lot better behaved for her. Or the teacher, he had a really bad week at school. But, you know, I think the teacher needs to set limits on him. All of these things would be nice. All of these things would be helpful. But the truth, the hard truth, our children need to behave for other people, whether or not those people can handle them. I do not want my child behaving well only because somebody can control him. I want him behaving well because that is the right thing to do. And it is not the Sunday school teachers. It is not grandma's. It is not the teacher's responsibility to make my son behave. It is mine. And if I find out that that boy did not treat those people with respect and follow their expectations, he will answer to Dad. because I am his primary teacher. They are not responsible for making him behave. It certainly is nice if they can, but if they can't, I will not make excuses for him. I must deal with him. I'm Dr. Ray.
And today, after multiple challenges to this law before the Supreme Court, the Affordable Care Act is here to stay. This morning, the court upheld a critical part of this law, the part that's made it easier for Americans to afford health insurance regardless of where you live. If the partisan challenge to this law had succeeded, millions of Americans would have had thousands of dollars worth of tax credits taken from them. For many, insurance would have become unaffordable again. Many would have become uninsured again. Ultimately, everyone's premiums could have gone up. America would have gone backwards. And that's not what we do. That's not what America does. We move forward. So today is a victory for hardworking Americans all across this country whose lives will continue to become more secure in a changing economy because of this law.
Well, that was the president, of course, and he's commenting on another significant Supreme Court case that was decided last month. It was overshadowed by the homosexual marriage decision. But in a 6-3 vote, the justices ruled that insurance subsidies can be offered in both state and federal exchanges. The president and his supporters were triumphant about it. They declared that the health care law is here to stay, and opponents should stop wasting everyone's time with challenges. Well, let's find out what people who work in this area know. With me right now is Lewis Brown, Catholic attorney with the law firm of Frazier. And also with me, Mike O'Day, founder and executive director of Christus Medicus Foundation. And Mike is the founder of Mother and Unborn Baby Care. And gentlemen, it's good to have you here.
Good to be with you, sir.
Good to be with you, Al. Yeah.
And so, Lewis, let me ask you,
sure.
Listening to the president, what goes through your mind?
You know, a few things. On some level, I do think as we look to the frontier of healthcare and where we're going with healthcare, the Affordable Care Act, barring some unforeseen circumstances, is a reality that we're probably going to have to deal with. And so within that reality, there's certain efforts that we as a Catholic community, we as the lay faithful, with the support of our bishops, need to make in terms of life and religious liberty. And we can talk about that further. But, you know, there were some possibilities to repeal that. Whether someone's a Democrat or Republican, as a Catholic, that would have presented opportunities to protect the unborn, stop the empowerment of public funding of abortion. Also, it would have provided some opportunity to really truly protect individual right of conscience, religious liberty, which we don't really have now in the Affordable Care Act. And it's unfortunate that we'll not have those opportunities the way that we would have had that Supreme Court decision gone the other way. However, there's still much work that we can do, and we can talk about that, and Mike can share some of that with you as well.
Mike, go ahead and give us your impression of the president's words.
Well, I do agree with Lewis, and of course I have felt for a long time that Republicans were missing the boat when they continued to talk about, you know, repealing the Affordable Care Act. In the private market, the Affordable Care Act has had, you know, since its inception, being put in place, you know, in the marketplace. So there was no way, even before the Supreme Court decision, that we could have repealed, you know, everything in the Affordable Care Act. But now the wake-up call is, and I do think the Republicans recognize it now, you know, how are we going to improve on what's there? And, you know, change the bad, the really bad parts, you know, Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. And that's what Lewis referred to, you know, the taking away of our religious liberty and right of conscience and health care.
No,
I mean, Americans, you know, just don't have any freedom in health care anymore. And so the government's got, you know, the ability to make decisions for us, tell us what's going to be in health care. And that's exactly what happened, you know, with the HHS mandate, just another way to take away, you know, our freedom as, you know, Christians, and particularly our freedom as Catholics, because that HHS mandate clearly went after Catholic teaching. And, you know, the enemies of life knew that, and they want to be controlling
right.
The way we live our lives in health care. by what is funded in healthcare. And just my last comment, I did want to tell you, I listened to your interview with Jason Negri, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to affirm, everything that he was saying. How bad is this whole new effort in healthcare? There's some good parts of that.
Sure.
It just depends on what American people do now. And the most serious threat that elderly people have is not having anybody that's available
right.
for them
right.
that knows them. And their families, the way they're so split apart. I mean, I do think this is going to have to be one of the biggest ministries of the church, to find out how are we going to help people out in healthcare with this healthcare law that has taken away our ability to practice our faith
yeah,
in healthcare.
Yeah, and to help people actually find a good death.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to go to the work that you've been doing. And by the way, more information is available at cmfcuro.com. Talk to me, Lewis, about the options that people have through CMF Curo.
Sure. And very happy to do that. The beauty of CMF Curo is that it's really following upon the example that we had from the early Christian church, where Christians came together in voluntary community to share each other's burdens and bear each other's needs, really, and much of their of the human functions that they participate in. So you can see that in definitely in the Acts of the Apostles, how they lived as a Christian community. And that's what the Lord's calling us to as the body of Christ, to live in communion with each other as much as we can, voluntarily, in a spirit of love and a spirit of true charity. Obviously, government can't force charity. It's something that, charity is always a choice. And what we're doing with Curo is ever old, ever new, just like the new evangelization. David Wilson, who's one of our co-founders, likes to say that, the evangelization has always been there. The new part is you. And so we are this new army for our Lord that is going out, an army of love, to help each other, to accompany each other. And what we're doing in Curo is joining arm in arm with our Protestant brothers and sisters at Samaritan Ministries International, who have had a healthcare sharing ministry that's been going on since the 90s very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
47,000 households are within their ministry. They share currently about, or at least as of May or June, $11 million per month in healthcare sharing cost.
Oh.
And so instead of paying an insurance premium payment to an insurance company every month, as most individuals and families do, they pay a share payment to another member of the ministry. And in the aggregate, if someone's got a $50,000 or $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 health care bill, they would receive dozens or hundreds of checks from other members of the ministry. They would also receive prayer letters saying that those folks are praying for them,
mm-hmm.
and that will cover their medical costs in full. It's a wonderful ministry. It's very beautiful in the sense that people are sharing and praying with each other.
It's a very creative Christian
yes.
thing to do. I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's really born out of an understanding of the dignity of the person.
That's right.
The indissolubility of the church. We are bound to one another.
That's right.
By our common baptism.
That's right. And so, it has worked well. And the reason why it's been growing and growing and growing, it even continued to prosper and grow after the Affordable Care Act. And in some ways, it's increased after the Affordable Care Act is for a couple of reasons. First is that people are sharing with each other, and they really want to do that. That's what the Lord's calling us to come together as the body of Christ, come together in communion, and we can do that in our healthcare, and that's what we're doing with Curo, Samaritan Ministries International. That's number one. Number two is that it's the sharing of pro-life care. You know that your dollars, your money, is not going towards something that's inconsistent with the gospel of life. So there's no paying for sterilization, no paying for abortifacients or abortions, etc. The third thing that's also beautiful about it is as we see the struggles that we have with the attacks on the family, with the attacks on religious liberty, the importance of Christians coming together in community, regardless of denomination, to the degree that we can,
mm-hmm.
As a friend of mine said yesterday or 2 days ago in the social sciences, in economics and business, it's very important. The last thing, too, that people should know that if they become a member of Curo and also join Samaritan and do that health care sharing. As our members that do health care sharing do, they become exempt as an individual or from the Affordable Care Act, from the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act.
So this is exempt. So you're
able to
operate this above the law.
That's right.
And not have to worry about the state putting the pincers on you.
That's right. So it's expressly within the individual requirements section of the Affordable Care Act, the law itself. It's written there that if you are a member of a qualified health care sharing ministry, you are deemed exempt from the requirement if you buy insurance coverage.
You can't create one of those now, right?
That's right. Well,
you were able to work with Samaritan.
Right, that's right. So the reason why one could not go out there, really, it would, or at least it would be extraordinarily difficult, if not really not possible, to start a new healthcare sharing ministry is because the exemption states expressly within the statute that you must, you know, to have the exemption, you must be a healthcare sharing ministry in existence as of December 31st, 1990, in a continual existence.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was one that had been operating since then and just kind of really hadn't come out into public view, there's a potential there that they could get an exemption. But for the most part, we couldn't, you know, the Christ Medicus Foundation couldn't just start its own healthcare sharing ministry.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
needed to join an existing one.
That's great.
You know, and it's important to say, too, that there's a wide breadth and depth of sharing. There are some limitations. There's real limitations on the sharing of medical needs with pre-existing conditions. There's limitations on the sharing of routine dental needs. But beyond that, if someone joins the ministry and has an incident, has a health care need, it's shareable, it's shared, and it works very beautifully, and that's why the ministry has grown and grown so much.
In fact, while we're talking about this, how do people get in touch with you? Because a lot of people listening right now are saying to themselves, wow, I'm not sure I have heard about this before. This sounds tremendous.
Sure. There's a couple different ways. The first way is to go to www.cmfcuro.com, cmfcuro.com. The CURO is Curo. It's Latin to heal, to care for.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the Christ Medicus Foundation website, www.christmedicus.org.
Mike, you know, I've mentioned this before. You've been working on this for 20 years anyways. And to see this bear fruit in this way, you must be quite happy.
I am very much so, Al. To me, this is, you know, miraculous what happened, because there just didn't seem like there was any, you know, light for us, you know, at the end of the tunnel. And then to be able to find out that our evangelical brothers and sisters, you know, were willing to cooperate with us. But what impressed me so much when David Wilson and I went to them was to find out, though, they're evangelicals. And as we all know, you know, many Protestants don't see anything wrong with contraception.
Right.
And they do believe that should be part of a health care program. Well, at the particular group that we selected, Samaritan Ministries, you know, they were in total agreement that contraception, abortion, and sterilization didn't belong in health care. and they themselves, their board, it was exciting to see, you know, they had large families.
Yeah.
And they believed that, you know, another primary purpose of marriage was to procreate and have children and not to say no to God,
right,
you know, through contraception.
Right.
So that was a wonderful thing to happen, that we could get over that and the other differences that evangelicals have and Catholics have with one another. But recognize this is just so important that, you know, Catholics and evangelicals, you know, find where they have common agreement and be able to offer something that, you know, truly is a godsend, you know, to the Christian community.
Well, listen, let me ask once again, Lewis, how people can get in touch with you.
Sure, it's www.cmfcuro.com.
cmfcuro.com. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Al Crest.
Thank you, Al.
Be back in just a moment.
Summer finally seems to be here with some warm weather and summer festivals. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary with our summer clearance event. All 2015 models are discounted to the lowest payments of the year, with over 500 new and certified pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Express yourself with style and luxury with payments as low as $149 per month on vehicles with up to 40 miles per gallon, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Did you know you can study theology, philosophy, and pastoral ministry at Detroit's Sacred Heart Major Seminary? Many students attend Sacred Heart because of its academic excellence. You'll be challenged to high levels of accomplishment by expert professors who teach from the heart of the church. Many students attend Sacred Heart because of their interest in the new evangelization. You will learn to proclaim and defend Catholic truth with new methods and new vigor to an increasingly secularized world. Sacred Heart's campus in the heart of the city is easy to reach from all major freeways. Evening classes, online courses, and satellite courses this fall term at Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth work well with your personal schedule. Learn more at study@sacredheart.com, including our wide choice of programs. But hurry, application deadline for fall is August 14th. Classes start September 8th. That's study@sacredheart.com. Study@sacredheart.com.
And good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. You know, there's much going on in the United States of America right now, lots of changes, and it's important for us as Christians to make sure that we're trying to integrate our faith with our life. A lot of people get impatient this way. A lot of professionals find themselves getting impatient because they know how difficult it is to buck up against the system. And yet, we're seeing more and more committed Christians, Catholic and non-Catholic both, come up with creative ways of bearing witness within their given professions. I'm thinking here about a number of new clinics that have developed that have a Catholic respect for the dignity of the human person and the body. They operate with the theology of the body. They offer the finest medical care out there, but of course, they are not interested in promoting abortion. They're not interested in promoting contraception. And they have a broader way of understanding the human person. Same thing going on like with CMF Curo. But we'll keep a list and let you know about others.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. My wife Janet and I invite you to join us this year on one of our many biblical and Catholic adventures following the footprints of God. There's nothing like the Holy Land where God walks. It is safe and life-changing. And now we have Holy Land Part 2 for those who want to dig deeper. Board the ship and join us as we follow St. Paul, the Blessed Mother, and St. John on our Mediterranean cruise visiting Italy, Turkey, and Greece.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link. Pray, play, and simply be together at the Notre Dame Summer Retreat. Holy Cross Family Ministries invites you to attend the annual weekend retreat for families at the University of Notre Dame, August 7th through 9th. Listen to inspirational talks by former Notre Dame coach Jerry Faust, Sister Terry Rickard, and Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. Bring your family for a weekend of prayer, fun, and togetherness. For complete details, go to familyrosary.org/events or call 800-299-7729.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
The 9th and 10th commandments forbid us to covet what belongs to our neighbor, whether it be his spouse or his possessions. This commandment, in other words, requires us to limit our desires by respecting the boundaries between what is ours.